Thank you, meant that. Hallelujah. My God. We don't like talking about heaven, y'all. It makes some of us uncomfortable. But I need for you to know there will come a time when this life is over. My. Praise God. If you would, please stand with me and grab your Bibles. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Oh, we filled in a lot since 10. Amen. You're looking good. Amen. I meet with some men at 8 a.m. a couple of Sundays out of the month. I was running a little late, so I told them I couldn't drive my usual 90 miles an hour. Lord, forgive me, but I took it down to 70. Amen. It was raining, so we wanted to adjust. And y'all think I'm joking, too. Amen. That's all right. I don't get a lot of tickets, y'all. I don't get a lot of tickets. It's okay. Amen. As you stand and find Galatians chapter 5, we are kicking off the first part of our series. Our theme for 2019 is Fit to Finish. And we're going to look at various aspects of fitness. And of course, it is most appropriate to begin with spiritual fitness. And as you notice on some of the artwork that we're using, we have five categories that we'll focus on: spiritual, relational, spiritual, emotional, relational, physical, and financial fitness. We're going to be in this all year, and it's going to be a blessing to everybody. So I pray that you're praying and that you're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in and through the teaching and preaching for 2019. But on today, we kick off the first part of this new series dealing with spiritual fitness. Now, as I begin the series, I want to disarm you. Because when the preacher begins to talk about sin and carnality and maturity, it makes some of us uncomfortable because of some of the places we may be. Amen. But I want you to know that the Lord is going to bless you through this, that all of us fall short of the glory of God. Amen, somebody. So there is no one in here that can point a finger at anybody else in here. But that does not abdicate the fact that we must address sin. We must. The amen went right down. Amen, Pastor. Can't nobody point no finger. We got to address sin. All right. Yeah. I got one. I got a faint. All right. Thank you. Thank you. So let's get into the text, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse 16. This is some heavy stuff, y'all. I'm going to do my best to address it in a way that will be most helpful. Paul speaking to the believers. He says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. Fill in your own blank there. Amen. I'm glad y'all are smiling. That really helps. I'm warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now, Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Our motto text says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I want to put a tag on this text and preach from the subject, walk this way. I'm going to let y'all be seated. That was a long reading. You may be seated, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Eternal God, our Father, we've gathered here today, and Lord, you have already begun to answer our prayers. You've released your presence in this place. You've allowed us to have a time of worship and fellowship. And Father, now we ask that you would grant us a moment of examination as we use your word as a mirror for our lives. Father, I pray right now for every person under the sound of my voice that we do our part, that we do our part, Lord God, to listen as you speak to us through your word. Father, may we not be defensive, but may we allow your Spirit to move upon our hearts. Lord, we want to please you with how we live our lives. And we understand that an aspect of this is to be spiritually fit. We love you, we glorify you, we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Come on, say amen again. Amen. Walk this way. If you're a first-time visitor, I want to challenge you, but inform you, rather, that you should have received a sermon note card upon entry. If you don't have one of these, please kindly lift your hand, and our ushers would be more than happy to assist. It will help you follow along with the message for today. Anybody? Anybody get overlooked? Praise God. Praise God. We begin the messages with, of course, a message moment. And it allows us to capture the essence of what Pastor Brown is going to preach and teach on today. Let's look at our message moment for today. Becoming spiritually fit takes time and involves daily disciplines to ensure success. Becoming spiritually fit takes time. This week, I created and ordered a brand new piece of marketing material for our church. And I use an organization called Print Place. Love Print Place. They do exceptional work, and they know how to get a good turnaround time with the product. One of the things that they do that is real helpful to consumers is they allow you to check into your account and to get a status of where your order is in the pendulum of the process. And so every now and then, I'll just check in just to get an update to see what's happening with my order. This week, I went onto the site and logged in with my credentials and pulled up my order. I'm so excited because I get to show you after the sermon. And I began to look at the progress of our order. And I noticed there was a little two words that said IP. IP, IP. And I did a little searching to figure out what that meant. And I discovered that IP means in progress. Watch this. They let me know, Mr. Brown, we've started your order, but we've not finished your order. Oh, come on, help me teach this. We started your order. We got all the information that we need, and we've begun the process of fulfilling your order, but your order is still in progress. We've not quite finished it, but watch this. We're further along than when we started 2 days ago, and as you check back, Mr. Brown, you'll discover that your order will be fulfilled to your specification. See, they gave me this principle about being in progress. And it helped me to understand that every believer is in progress. Come on, just make a declaration. Say, I am in progress. Every believer, every child of God, you're in progress. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Being in progress is not a license to live any way you want to. But them amens is a roller coaster. They just go, oh, hallelujah. Then
Every believer is in progress. But I want you to catch the operative word, progress. Which means, Stephen Brown, you simply cannot stay in the spiritual place that you are from week to week, year to year. There has to be progress. And the progress has to be evidenced according to Scripture. Oh, so we have been created and saved and called. And it is our responsibility to grow into the individuals that the Lord has called us to be. Somebody say in progress. So I don't want anyone under the sound of my voice to ever believe that salvation is the end. Salvation is the beginning. And as a beautiful consequence, as you work that thing out in the fullness of the time the Lord gives you on earth, you will discover some wonderful benefits of being spiritually fit. So as we embark upon our new series, Spiritually Fit to Run, we have to examine the biblical example of a life guided by the power and principles of the Holy Spirit. Now, before we even deal with being spiritually fit, we have to address being spiritually filled. Oh, God. So the first step toward being spiritually fit is a profession of faith. In other words, old folks say you got to be saved. You got to be saved. A profession of faith is receiving the free gift of salvation by faith made available through Jesus Christ. That's the first step. So as we kick off this series, I want you to write something down. The first step is a relationship. Write that down. The first step is a relationship. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Romans chapter 10. And the book of Romans is so powerful as it relates to things for professing our faith. But Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read just a few verses, beginning at verse 9. Hallelujah, baby. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, since there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, Pastor Bond, I've never done anything like that. I love coming to the church, and we love having you here. But I've never made a profession of faith. I don't think I have a relationship with the Lord. Three simple things. First thing, you have to admit. Somebody say admit. Admit. You have to admit that you are a sinner. Totally unpopular in 2019. Because in 2019, you know, we tell ourselves, oh, you're great just the way you are. You were born this way, so you're good. And I need for you to know, yes, you were born that way. You were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, which means you were born with your back turned to the Lord. But because of his grace and mercy, he gives you a second chance. You have to admit, I am a sinner. And I don't want you to think you're doing this by yourself, because I remember when I was a young man admitting, confessing, owning up to the fact that I was a sinner. Secondly is the B. You have to believe. Get that down. You got to believe. Believe what? You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that he was raised again on the third day, and that he is interceding for us right now. You have to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And then thirdly and finally, you got to call. Somebody say call. You got to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I just read it to you. You got to call on him. You got to ask him, Lord, I need you to save me. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I admit. And I believe that Jesus is who he said he is. And I'm calling upon that name
to save my soul.
See, I've been in church all my life. My grandfather was my pastor. And I used to watch him preach messages on salvation. And I'd watch people who'd been in church 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years who had joined a ministry but never had a relationship with the Lord. So I'm talking about all this spiritual fit stuff, but you've yet to receive that that helps you to be fit. There is no flow of the Spirit if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So we'll talk more about that a little later. But that's the first step. That's the groundwork. So watch this. When you make that profession of faith, when you receive that tremendously free gift, your journey begins. Your journey towards spiritual maturity.
So our spiritual fitness is in progress. Somebody say in progress. As we grow, each of us, individually and collectively, into the men and women that God wants us to be.
I found a scripture in Romans chapter 5 that helps me again. I'm just going all over the scriptures, but I'm feeling good about it. Amen, somebody. Romans chapter 5 hit me like a ton of bricks when I considered my own life. And some of you may be able to relate to this. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, says this:
Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we're saved, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking with the Lord Jesus. We have also obtained access through him by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But watch this. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What do you mean by this text? Well, Paul helps me to understand. Yes, we are saved. But that does not stop us from going through stuff. And as a result of our salvation and going through stuff, the Lord is actually working and maturing us. So the Lord takes the blessings and the victories of life, but then God also takes the burdens and the defeats of life, and all of those circumstances are combining forces to make you into one mature child of God. See, if you had sunshine all the time, you'd experience a drought. If you had rain all the time, you'd experience a flood. So the Lord knows how to give you just enough sunshine to keep the tan, and just enough rain to keep you growing. Why? Because God moves in all those places. So I don't want you to think that just because you made a profession of faith and you received the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems like at that moment your life began to fall apart. No, it didn't. The Lord has just taken that stuff away. He's revealing to you some stuff about you that you didn't know. He's showing you some stuff about your spirit inner man that he's working on. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to live victoriously in this life, as we await our eternal home in heaven. Somebody say in progress. But right now, we're dealing with some stuff. Amen. So let's look at verses 19 through 21. He says, now, the works of the flesh are obvious. I'm talking like Martin Luther King. I felt that are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I'm warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Get ready to write, beloved. The first thing I want you to see is that the struggle is real. I got some witnesses right there. Let me sip my tea on that. The struggle is real. This list in verses 19 through 21 is so exhaustive. I know you saw yourself in there somewhere. Don't say nothing. Just amen. It's all good. It's a pretty comprehensive list. But the bottom line that Paul wants us to understand is every believer goes through these struggles. No one is exempt. Don't believe the hype. They may try to pretend like they got it all together, but they on this list. I need a witness up in here. They in verses 19 through 21 somewhere. So Paul is explaining the need for a life that is controlled and energized by the Spirit. And Paul understands that every Christian has these competing natures. Every believer, based upon the sinful nature that we inherited from original man, Adam, introducing original sin into every single one of our existence. But when we receive the gift of salvation, we get a new nature. So both these natures have a desire. One desires evil, and the other desires holiness. As a consequence, there is this conflict that holds the believer back. Isn't it amazing? You enter the new year with all these hopes. You're going to cut some stuff out in 2019. That's it. I'm taking your number out of my phone. Don't call me no more. I ain't going to those places where I know you're going to be there. I'm trying. You doing that thing. Those first 2 days were fantastic. Walking in your purpose, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh! And then the enemy or your memory gave you a flashback. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Wow. Ooh. Somebody say the struggle is real. And here's what I want you to understand. Those two opposing forces, the one that you feed wins. Somebody say the struggle is real. Let me give you some hope. Keep moving, Pastor Brown. The second one I need you to get is the Spirit is ready. Come on, say the Spirit is ready. Now you can write it down. The Spirit is ready. So he goes through this exhaustive list that is painful to look at. These are self-explanatory. Issues of our bodies. Because we understand that our bodies are the temple of the Lord. We have the Holy Spirit as resident within our hearts and our lives. But then there's some external stuff. He talks about idolatry. And that is allowing other things to take the place of God in your life. And I learned as a first-time dad that our children can even become our idols. And understanding these others of sorcery, you know, we get caught up with all the stuff that the world tells us that we need. Checking our horoscopes. Why don't you check the scripture? We don't understand all of that. We don't understand none of that. But you can't start your day. Oh, wait a minute. I got to get my daily reading. Hold on. It's your daily passage. Hatred, strife, jealousy. Yeah. Self-explanatory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Spirit is ready. Look at verse 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Here's in contrast to what we've just heard in verse 19 through 21. In contrast, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does not operate automatically in a believer's heart. He waits to be depended upon. I want you to catch that.
See, we think that the Holy Spirit is going to make us do.
No,
the Holy Spirit is going to wait on you. He's going to wait on you to depend upon him, to ask him, to seek him, to pursue him. He's not going to take your hands and make you do what you're supposed to do.
That's not how the Holy Spirit works. He's waiting on you to depend on him. He's waiting on you to cry out to him.
He's already there. He's just waiting.
The Holy Spirit blocks when he is allowed to do so. Here's what I love about the Holy Spirit. The more attention I give to the Spirit of God, the more power I experience in my life. The less attention I give to the Spirit of God, the less power I have in my life. And some of us, we are defeating ourselves even before we get started. Whatever dog you feed, that's the one that's going to grow and be the most tenacious. But I need for you to know that the Spirit of God is ready to take your life to a level you have never experienced before. Some of the stuff that we're dealing with in verses 19 through 21 could become a non-issue if we would allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm preaching to me, y'all. I'm preaching to me. Because many of us, we reach a certain level of spiritual maturity and then we begin to plateau. God. And as we plateau, then we allow for them little small sins to kind of creep in. And before we know it, we are comfortable with things that are offensive to God.
Keep it going.
So walking by the Spirit, next movement. Or keep walking means to live moment by moment by trusting the Holy Spirit rather than trusting ourselves. It's taking small steps toward a life of maturity and purpose. So he's saying, walk by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk. It could be translated live in the Spirit. There's a good rendering that suggests a person who has walked in a certain place for so long that it is now his environment, his place of daily activity. So he's familiar with the surroundings. When you walk by the Spirit, you live by the Spirit, you become one with the Spirit, and the Spirit then begins to give you guidance and interpretation and discernment and power over stuff that previously tripped you up. Here's a paraphrase of Galatians 5:16. Listen to this paraphrase. Make the path of the Spirit the place where you habitually live and work. Become so comfortable on this spiritual path that you learn to leisurely and peacefully stroll along in that realm. Living your life in this spirit realm is the best way to guarantee that you will not allow the yearnings of your flesh to creep out and fulfill themselves. What a paraphrase. Walk with the Spirit.
Craig Rochelle helps me with this because oftentimes, y'all, we look at other people in their spiritual journey and we don't understand all that they're investing and sacrificing to be at the level where they are. There are some pastors that I long admire, and as I drew closer to them, I was able to see these godly men Love their wives, love their children, spend uninterrupted time in the presence of the Lord, not because they were so great, but because they knew the demons that resided in them, and they understood that if I don't get me under control, God can't use me at the level God wants to use me. And so our challenge is, we allow that flesh to have so much authority in our lives. We become numb to the issues in verses 19 through 21. They don't even affect us anymore. And we buy into this worldly philosophy of my truth. Well, that's just their truth. I can't snub about their truth. That ain't my truth. That's their truth. And you know, you got your truth. I got my truth.
So Craig Rochelle, because some of you are thinking, Pastor Brown, I really want more. But it seems like every time I try, I just don't measure up. Here's what he said. He says, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. That applies in every realm of your life. I'll say it again. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently. See, here's how I used to do, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. Let me keep it real. I said, Lord, all right, I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm gonna pray. I ain't gonna pray three times a day, but I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna monitor stuff I watch on television. I'm gonna make sure that, you know, these friends I got are for my good. You know, all this stuff. And again, that lasts about 2 or 3 days. Y'all ain't going to keep it real this morning, are you? It lasts about 2 or 3 days. And on the third day, he didn't get up. He got down. Amen, somebody. You feel me, Thea? On the third day, it'd be calling me. So I try my best. The next thing, you know, I'm going back to the 80s and the 90s. Hey, man, what y'all doing? What y'all getting into tonight? Who is this? This Steve, man. But Steve, you said you were. I know what I said. That ain't. What y'all doing tonight? Where y'all going to be at? We're going to Bone Shakers. I'll be there. What time? Success. Successful people, I'm from Houston, do consistently. See, I kept allowing myself to be defeated because I couldn't stack it up for 3 or 4 months at a time. It ain't about stacking up 3 or 4. It's about one day. Some of us, it's about one moment. Some of us, it's one phone call. But you got to take those baby steps and put together some consistency so that your spirit man can be strengthened. Do I have a witness up in here? Stop looking at somebody else who's been walking this path for decades. They've stacked it up consistently. You trying to do it on a weekend. And you think weekend faith. It's going to give you lifestyle faith. It ain't going to happen. So you bust up in here on Sunday morning. Lord, I'm sorry. I ain't going to do it no more. Woo. And you walk out this church. I'm on my way over right now. Well, y'all. Come on, come on, Thea, come on, let's go. And I'm just here to let you know, as a testimony, the one you feed is the one that will be in control. And y'all, I've been in some bondage-type situations before. Well, I didn't think I was going to get out of it. But I'm here as a living testimony that the Lord is a deliverer. I'm here as a living testimony that he can take the taste out of your mouth where you don't even want it no more. You see it, you bump into it on the street, and you're like, what's up? And you just keep it moving. Why? Because you're walking in the spirit. When you're walking in the spirit, the flesh doesn't have control anymore. Consistently versus occasionally. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. There's so many key words in verse 16. We're going to get to point one today. That's it. I'm sorry. But look at this, y'all. He says, I say then, walk by the Spirit. Get ready to write. First thing you got to do, beloved, is you got to get in step. You got to get in step. It's almost like when you're dancing. Everybody here is dancing at some point. You know, you dance, moving, whatever. And the person you dancing with, y'all on different beats. Come on, y'all, just work with me, you know. And, you know, they're doing this, and you're doing this, and y'all got to get that thing. And so you see what they're doing, and then pretty soon you, oh, yeah, all right, I got you. You got to get in step. Y'all know I can throw down. Don't make me take off my coat. You got to get in step. So that there is a rhythm to the movement. But we have to get in step with the Spirit. The word walking or stepping, peripateo, could be best explained by thinking of a person who has walked a path so habitually, so regularly, that he would be able to walk this path blindfolded because it is his or her path. That's what it means to walk and be in touch and in step with the Spirit. You're so familiar, you're so ingrained with the Spirit's leading, that you could be blindfolded. Many scholars say it's almost like a strolling in the spirit, like a leisurely walk. So when a person is strolling in the spirit, there's no stress, no anxiety, no bondage, no yoke. You're able to flow in the spirit. So you're living in such close connection with the Holy Spirit, that as he leads, you joyfully and willingly follow. Your conduct is directed by the Spirit, not by how you feel, not because you may be right in this instant, but you are led by the Spirit. Three things that help you get there. If you want to get in step, the first thing is you have to draw near in prayer. Get that down. That's a little extra one. I'm going to give you some extra stuff. Draw near in prayer. Write it in the margin. I'm sorry. The Lord hit me with this one. Draw near in prayer. Because, see, we're trying to do this in our self-will, and it ain't going to work. If willpower could get you out of the bondage you're in, you'd been out a long time ago. It ain't willpower. I read some of your messages when we were doing the prayer and the fasting, some of the stuff that you were giving up. I mean, I heard it all. Pastor, I ain't going to be drinking, smoking, eating too much, all of that. Amen, somebody. Those are good goals. But that kind is not going to go out but by prayer and fasting. You're not going to overcome with just a willpower. It's not going to happen. You got to draw near in prayer. That's your prayer life gets you fully immersed with the flow of the Spirit. Let's keep it moving. Secondly, you got to dig deeper in the Word. You got to dig deeper in the Word. Just write it in your margin. Dig deeper in the Word. See, here's what I've discovered about some of us, myself included. We know the Word. Watch this. But we fail to apply the Word. So we know all those scriptures about what we should and should not do. But we fail to apply them in our lives. And we always default, watch this, to the sins that we feel ain't that bad. So we go from 19 to 21. Well, I ain't no adulterer. I ain't drunk. But we overlook that hatred and that dissension, that division. We overlook that stuff. So that's a knowledge of the word, but a failure to apply the word. And y'all, we don't get to not apply the word as believers. Thirdly, last point for the message. We have to distance ourselves from flesh promoters. Oh God. Verse says, walk by the Spirit and you will certainly not carry out, fulfill the desires of the flesh. You will fulfill the desires of the flesh if you frequently are affiliated with flesh promoters. Now you get to define what that is in your life. Men, some of us need to stay away from certain stations. Flesh promoters. I know you pay for them channels, but you don't have to look at all of them. And that's how men think. I paid for it. It's in my house. Why can't I? Flesh promoters. Ladies. Some of those novels we're reading. If you start sweating while reading, and again, we don't understand how one glimpse, one word, one phrase can lead us to something greater. And greater and greater meaning worse and worse. And then before we know it, y'all, we have so fed the flesh that the spirit is like, you're on your own. We're going to pick up next week. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to pick up next week. But for the next 5 days, I want you to remember the quote, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. And I want you to find you some time this week and begin seeking the Lord, examining your heart, asking the Lord to show you areas in your life where you have given in to flesh promoters. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you, we thank you, we glorify you. Father, you're so good. And Lord, we understand this is a struggle. It's real. And Lord, I'm grateful that this is a safe place. But we can be honest and transparent. And Father, in our transparency, your spirit can take our weakness, our frailty, and just give us a sense of hope. Father, many of us have some bondages that no one knows except you and them, Father. And Lord, we put on masks and we put on fronts like we got it together. But Father, some of us are living on the edge of quiet desperation. And Lord, it's so prevalent in our culture. Just this week, the man from The Young and the Restless was so overcome with depression, so in bondage, just hurting, Lord God, because of the loss of his own son. Father, he carried that grief and that pain. So, Father, many of us can testify that we got a lot of quiet pain, Lord God. And it's hindering our race. It's hindering the flow of your spirit. And I just ask, Lord, that you touch hearts now. Minister, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Encourage, strengthen, renew minds and hearts, Lord God. God, help us to get in step with your spirit. And Father, you know that we're going to praise you. So Lord, give us some victories just today. May we not overthink it. May we not try to do it all at once, but give us some short, quick victories. And help us to be more consistent in our walk. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God a big old hand of praise. Come on, right there. Come on.